one of the main indicators that someone is in a major depressive episode is that they come into your office sick every time. Their immune system is just so prone to getting sick. It's not an accident.
The big question is this. In a world of fake Instagram models and fad diets, how do real people achieve their fitness goals? We are an army of hardworking women changing their lives through fitness and health. Wherever you are at on your journey, we have the answers to how to make working out and eating well a part of your life. Join us in changing the dialogue for women everywhere. Welcome to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. I'm Kelsey.
Hi, guys. I'm Rachel, and welcome back. Happy 2024. I didn't get to say it like in person, so I'm saying it now.
Sharing it with everyone or just me?
No. Didn't I say happy 2024 to you?
I don't think so.
Did I do my see you next year joke?
No, that's not really yours. That's like the universal dad joke. Everyone just shamelessly does. I'm like, go get your New Balances.
No, because our first episode of 2024 was with Kara. So I was, because we were taking a nice week to recharge.
We did. Honestly, we... I was like, do you feel recharged or... we did re-release our Unfuck Your Brain episode with Kara, which was a really great one to start the new year with, because I think that when we get into kind of starting a new thing or a new, you know, mindset shift, a new habits, whatever, we get into it. It's important to recognize what are some of the barriers that come with starting anything new or adjusting your mindset. And I think the Unfuck Your Brain episode did a really nice job of looking at how we came to kind of think about some of the things that we, how we feel in this world, how our interactions go, how, you know, some of our feelings around health and fitness, self-worth, how women interact with the world, and how that is really just in the air that you breathe and how you have experienced the world thus far, and ways that we can just notice and adjust that. So I was really happy with like kind of looking at how we can unfuck your brain.
Well, the thing, I think one of the biggest mistakes that we all make going into, you know, goal setting, new year kind of stuff is just not enough recognition of where we've come from. And like freaking chickity check yourself before you wreck yourself. Like we need to, well, yeah, because you have to check in with why your behaviors have developed in the way that they've developed before you're going to go ahead and change them. Because there's reasons why those behaviors have developed. And without like checking in and like recognizing them, you don't have to say that, oh, that's my story and that's it, right? That's the way I am. But you do have to understand some of the traumas, some of the societal norms, all of the things that have gone into these behaviors, and then say like, okay, and this is how I want to do moving forward. And so, yeah, unfucking your brain, I think, is step one to making any kind of change. And that's why I really like that we let off with that one. But also, I didn't get to say happy 2024 to my friends yet. So I'm saying happy 2024 to you, friends. I love you. The last time I saw you was last year. Get it?
Get it.
Put your New Balances on. All right. So today's episode, I love this also to start the new year because we are unfucking our brain and then we are moving towards a space of letting go of like what we talked about in the movement calendar episode was just like moving away from like all the things I'm going to get rid of and actually thinking about addition to your life and what all of the things that you want to add to your life and how that, like, in turn will get rid of the things that you don't want anyways, right? Because there's only rooms for so much. It's just a pie. So the episode that we have put together for you today, namely Kelsey, is focusing on gratitude. And I think it's such a good way to start any year, any day, any hour. And also, it's something that I really need some work.
Need some work. So what kind of inspired this episode for me when thinking about gratitude was there was a lot of some of the messaging that I was exposed to going into the new year were a lot of people reflecting on either trauma or negative experiences of 2023, or really kind of like hyper focusing on the story that's been built thus far and kind of feeling some down, like some shame, doubt, and just kind of negative feelings surrounding, you know, what either their past years or 2023 has looked like for them. And I kept seeing a lot of these either posts or just experiences with people that I've been interacting with that had a lot of focus on what went wrong for them and what was happening to them in their lives and what they didn't have. And although those experiences are always very real, it's important to acknowledge why we hyper-focus on those experiences and that there is science behind why we do that. And it is it's to preserve us. It's to protect us, because we're going to talk about how, you know, some neural pathways in the brain and how that develops and how that can continue to manifest. Once you start lighting up some neural pathways, you continue along that route. And this is just brain science that has been proven over and over. So if you have taken a route where you are hyper-focusing on a story where you are the victim, or you don't have things to be grateful for, or this is how things have always gone for you, you will continue down that path until we start to introduce some neural pathways. And I think the thing about gratitude that's so interesting to me is that we tend to have this idea that some people are born with it and some people aren't, which is just, that's riddled through a lot of the experiences that we've had when it comes to developing something. Either you're born with muscles or you're not, or you're born with a positive attitude or you're not. And what's been proven over and over is that this isn't the case at all. No one is born with more like geared towards just being grateful and like just wake up and they're like, I'm just grateful for this life. And the other big flaw in the kind of like grateful attitude is that once I get some things or some people to be grateful for, then I will practice gratitude. And I think that's the biggest lie out there, because we're always waiting for this thing that we think is going to happen, that therefore then we can be grateful because our life looks in this way. And that's just been, you can look at it with like rock stars, people with a lot of money, status, professional athletes. And you can look at this in any realm. There is no thing, no person, no amount of money or status that comes with the ability to be grateful for what you have.
That's such an important realization, and also one that I feel like is so relevant moving into a new year, because sometimes we tend to get focused on the goal setting and the thought around the goal that it will bring with it. With me losing 20 pounds will come my best life. With me getting this job promotion will come, you know, all of the things that I've always dreamed of having. And that's, I get it, because I get the need to look forward to something, right? That's why we like plan vacations. That's why we, because like the need. And I think the other really important thing that you brought up, and I just want to hit it on one more time, is that it is in fact easier and more comfortable for the brain to focus on the things it doesn't have, right? It's designed to do that. And I want to put that out there, because I know a lot of people struggle with like this self-loathing of like, I tend towards being a negative person, or I tend to see things that I don't have, or this kind of thing. And it's a very self-loathing thing, because they're like, I don't want to be that way. And why do I do that? Why am I not more grateful for the things I have? And that's like a whole ass thing. It's like, if you understand a little bit more about brain chemistry and about the fact that the brain is leading you in that way anyways, and you, it's like you have to like actively fight to not go down that route. I just feel like it allows you to have a little more slack to be like, oh, okay, that's just like a human behavior that I'm exhibiting. And that just like many of the other human behaviors, I need to be actively present, focusing on like not going down that easy, comfortable path for my brain where it wants to go, evolutionary, like science. And then just saying like, but you know, it's okay if I sometimes do that because like, hey, it's understandable. It's not like I'm like a shit person. Like it's just my brain like wants to do that.
Yeah, well, it's the seesaw, especially with some kind of like type A personalities or people who are more geared towards goal setting. It's an easier thing for them to wrap their head around to say like, well, I'm setting these goals and I'm trying to get to them and I'm just motivated and I'm working towards these things. So it's kind of like takes you out of the present and constantly pushes you into the future, which we know that type of futuristic thinking is a breeding ground for anxiety. I'm going to call it what it is because that it really is like thinking in the future, you know, thinking in the past causes depressive episodes, thinking in the future causes anxiety. This is just like in psychology, these are the groupings that we tend to, you know, kind of like loosely put people in. If they're more in the futuristic thinking, they have a lot of anxiety about the future. And that can come with people who are, you know, doing things like listening to a health and fitness podcast because they're trying to set goals. They're trying to live a happier, healthier life. And when I started to think about gratitude and how this kind of played into living a happier, healthier life, living a holistic, healthy life. And we will constantly say that that is involved with, you know, your mind being in a good space, good place, but the physical aspects of a healthy mind just can't go overlooked anymore. We did an entire podcast on, you know, how your brain makes you sick. And there is so much science that has met, you know, some of these kind of looser ways of thinking. And then we have combined, not Rachel and I, but, you know, as a society, we haven't combined science and
no, all the best people.
all the best people.
We'll better people.
We'll put them in the show notes. Pre-listen to it after.
Parentheses, the best people.
But combining some of that scientific research and some of these things that we know have been proven to improve your overall health have been combined. And I'm going to talk about a couple of the studies today because I think that's really important to understand that this isn't just some, I don't know a better way to say this, like some hippie shit where like it's just like practice. Like when you think of gratefulness, you think of like writing things in a jar or saying like mantras or kind of like doing some affirmations. And I don't want to kick those, but the science behind a lot of affirmations specifically is not met because we cannot, our brain is very smart. You can't lie to it. It knows. So when we do these, you know, fake it till you make it things, or we kind of insert some of these mantras or like, I'm going to practice positive thinking, which a lot of times comes with the practice of a grateful mindset. We just need to think a little bit deeper about that because there is not a lot of actual science that proves that that is going to make a difference in a gratitude mindset. We actually have to change some of the neural pathways. We actually have to, you know, practice some of these things that are proven to change those pathways. And so I want to talk about gratitude for a minute because it's a pro-social behavior and or a pro-social mindset. And this isn't, when we hear that, we think that this is our interactions with others, or this is just like a social experience. And it can be, because this is the type of thinking that benefits your interactions with others, but benefits your interactions with self as well. So when you benefit your interactions with self, you are in turn going to benefit interactions with others as well, which is why we kind of like are trying to do some of that internal work. But pro-social behaviors is not just this term that we use in a social setting. These are actually referring to circuits in your brain that are designed for pro-social thoughts. So these are designed to bring us closer to things. So when pro-social, you know, behaviors or thoughts, you know, pro-social circuits in your mind are designed to bring us closer to things. And those are experiences that typically we enjoy. So an experience with a loved one, a happy, you know, like some people think of like hugging their children, any of these moments, good food, sensory items or experiences. And they're designed to bring us closer to things. Now that plays on kind of a seesaw effect with defensive circuits. So these two things are kind of like on this, you know, they're both very important, but they're on this like seesaw of circuits that are lighting up within your brain that are going to generate how you respond to things. So when you're thinking about pro-social circuits, you're getting closer to things. When you think about defensive circuits, you think about retracting, like some of that body language looks like you're covering like some of your vital internal organs. You get smaller, you kind of like your arms are kind of covering your chest, things like that, where you're designed to kind of be more in a fearful or defensive mechanism. And these are obviously very important to keep you alive. However, the argument has been made that those are more active in your brain because of, you know, from an evolutionary standpoint of you just needing to, you know, stay alive and to be protective of yourself, because that's your brain's number one function. So it's geared towards kind of like more defensive mechanisms, but they take away from your pro-social circuits. So the more active your brain is on a pro-social circuit level, it's least active when it's defensive, right? So when it comes to some of our experiences with self or interactions with others, you want to be more like pro-social, right? You want to be less defensive. That's where you experience empathy. That's where you experience love. That's where you experience human connection, where you're drawn in closer. And that can be closer to self as well. So when we're thinking about gratitude overall, and we're thinking about how do we want to wire our brain towards gratitude, we have to think about what that shift looks like and how we can, because naturally we're geared towards fear and defense. So if naturally we're leaning there already, and then we continue to practice those things, which is what our interaction with the world often looks like. And in interactions with social media or interactions with others, that's what it often looks like. And we're already leaning in that direction. Of course, that's going to be more like relevant in our lives. And our brain circuits that are pro-social are going to, like, for lack of a better term, they're not going to be as strong.
Well, the best way I've heard about neuropathways being sort of described for a layman is like, think of it like paths in the woods, right? Like the more you take a path in the woods, the easier it is to take that path because you're stomping down all of the things that are in your way. And so the path becomes clearer and it's faster. And I almost think of it like we're looking at two pathways that are potentials in the woods, right? A crazy person takes the one that's all overgrown and is going to be extremely difficult to get through, right? So yeah, obviously, if we have had this leaning, evolutionary leaning, and then we've already practiced it, those pathways are super, super clear. They're easy. They're fast. They make the most sense for us. And the overgrown paths are significantly more difficult. They're going to take way longer to get through. They're not like the go-to, right? You haven't been down that path a million times before. So it takes a lot of work. You got to get like a machete and start hacking it out.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Because like one, your circuits are just like, they're going to light up in your brain. Like we don't have the ability to override. We're not a computer where we're just like override those experiences. And then we just say like, no, pro-social circuits, we want you to light up now. That's not how that works.
That'd be cool.
And that's why I think that this neuroscience and kind of like the guru aspect have come to a head with some of these discussions, because some of the gurus, and I'm not kicking this at all, but some of the gurus have just said, like, well, just practice gratefulness and fake it till you make it, start your affirmations. And I'm not kicking that, but when a mindset has been geared towards lighting up all of the defensive mechanisms immediately, that's what's going to fire right away. And that's why I think focusing on and developing a grateful mindset practice is such an important part of, you know, our overall health and wellness routine and how something we can add into our lives, because we have to actively get these neural pathways to start to light up. We have to really put the focus in that area that we're going to say, like, I'm going to rewrite some of these things. I'm going to start hacking away at that path for our pro-social circuits to shift towards to just lighting up more frequently. And if you're not already sold on the benefits of this, I'm just going to tell you one more thing. So people who have, you know, practiced gratitude throughout their lives or experienced several experiences of gratitude, and you see them in the future and they're geared more towards that. And we talked about that with the circuits. But the fact is that when you start activating these pro-social circuits in your brain, you build more resilience and a different mindset towards experiences in the future. And I think that's important to note, because you can think, if you're someone coming into this podcast today and you're thinking, like, I would like to be more grateful for the things that I have, and or I've experienced something that's, you know, hard within the last year, and I really work on my mindset and my shift around that, what that experience looks like, that's going to help you right now. Yeah, for sure. But it is actually going to build more resilience for the future experiences, because you're not escaping the human experience. You're not escaping hardship. You're not escaping trauma. You're not escaping any of these things that happen within the human experience. And I think that's what really got me thinking when it came to this podcast, because I felt like there was a lot of talk about just wanting to escape the human experience, wanting to escape heartbreak, wanting to escape some of the things that have not gone so well within the past year. And I'm like, well, these are all part of our human experience, right? Like, these are all things. And I don't want to be that, you know, that meme, you know, that says, like, don't tell me my heartbreak has made me stronger, like, blah, 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 all these things. That is definitely a mindset shift that's really difficult. And I can understand the looking at it and being like, well, I'm in this space right now, and it's important to stay true to the space that you're currently in. But if you can start to think about how you can reframe some of these things in your current situation and how that may impact your ability and resilience for the experiences you'll have in the future, it's like invaluable.
Yeah. That's why when you opened with, like, the people that you see that are really truly practicing this gratitude and are, you know, your kind of poster children for, like, okay, this is how I want. It's not that they've escaped trauma.
Yes.
It's not that they've escaped heartbreak. It's not that they've had this, like, lucky path. In fact, it tends to be the actual complete opposite of that. Some of these people, you look back on, you know, the experiences of their life and you say, how could you possibly be thankful and present in this moment when all of these, like, extremely traumatic things have happened to you? And it's a hard thing to wrap your mind around, but, like, the fact is those things are going to happen no matter what, in varying degrees, in varying stages of your life, and they're coming. So, like, that's hard for me as a person who is the future teller, and I have a very difficult time being present in the actual moment because I'm way too busy worrying about what is coming. And part of that personality flaw is simply that the thinking of the preventative nature of these traumas or hardships, or I'm going to prevent these things. And the acceptance that there is no preventing those things is a weird ass thing. It's really hard, and I am not there. but I see the value in it. Because like you said, these are the human experience. The only thing that you are in control of is your response to when these things happen, not if they happen, not to the degree that they happen. The only thing that you are truly in control of is how you respond to them. And so the work, instead of, that's what I'm trying to tell myself, I'm saying to myself right now, instead of spending the work and time and effort on trying to prevent them, spend it on preparing yourself to be the kind of person that can bounce back from these things and still appreciate the world around them.
That's such an important acknowledgement, I think, for a lot of people to be able to hear, because most people are not there yet. They're not in a place where they can, you know, acknowledge, or they can be like, well, I am just prepared for, you know, I'm preparing within myself, and I'm not hyper-focusing on preparation, the fear around what could
There's
happen
so much
in
fear.
Preparing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's led by that those defensive circuits. Those are leading the way. That's fear. That's preparation. That's all leading the way. And we're very much geared towards that. And I think you said something really important there, that some of the people that I've experienced or have developed the most genuine gratitude mindset. And I'm going to talk about this in a bit, because one of the studies that I dove into and just like was leading the way was on Holocaust survivors and the level of gratitude that they had shown during their storytelling experiences, and the ability, the study, I'm going to just jump right into it. The study was how to elicit some of those circuits, how to light those up in some of the brains of the participants. And storytelling is a very important part of our brain chemistry. We know that we're always, you know, seeking different types of storytelling, and that's how we connect with others. So, and that you can see that in all the, like the shows that you watch, you know, that your experiences with when we're reading, what you look for to online, all of those things. We're looking for storytelling. And that's not a mystery, because your brain is very much wired for storytelling. And so the study looked at what the effects of storytelling can be on feeling grateful, because that was one of the main factors for experiencing empathy and getting some of these neural pathways to light up. So the study looked at it, it brought in different participants and just exposed them to Holocaust storytelling geared around being grateful. So these Holocaust survivors were telling stories about experiences where someone showed them some type of kindness, great gifts, they gave them shelter, they saved their lives in a lot of ways during these really horrible, difficult times. And their storytelling for how grateful they were for these human experiences and interactions was so powerful that the participants experienced their brain chemistry, their neural pathways lit up in the pro-social way. They were experiencing gratitude through the storytelling of Holocaust survivors. That wasn't even their story. They were just hearing the gratitude, hearing the human experience, the kindness being shown towards other people. And they were empathizing with, you know, the entire story. And that led them to, they were watching their brain chemistry in this study, right? And it's like, it's basically like a helmet that has a bunch of electrodes on it, like watching which circuits are lighting up. And they're seeing those pro-social circuits light up repeatedly when experiencing some of the storytelling. And I thought that was such an interesting thing, because sometimes when we think about gratitude, we think this has to happen to us, right? I have to think about just like the experience of gratitude in my life, and it has to be so individualized in order for me to practice this type of, you know, pro-social circuits, in order for me to rewrite these pathways, I have to experience this. And that's really, it's an important part, but it actually proved to not be the one. Like it proved that it wasn't necessarily that you had to think about the things that you were grateful for in your life. You had to experience a gratitude storytelling. You had to experience those type of emotions. And that's where it becomes genuine gratitude experiences. First force, where we think about some of those, the guru things where we say like, I am grateful for the things that are in life. If you're not genuinely feeling that way, it's just a lie. And your brain just dismisses the lie. And so it's like, you're just lying to me. But when you are actually immersed in some of those emotional experiences of gratitude, and you see how people have overcome adversity and have helped others, and you watch that interaction, that actually is more powerful for you.
Which is so interesting too, because there, in this study, when you're thinking about the backdrop of it, and you can't not think about the backdrop, right? Because like, this is one of the most horrific things the human race has ever done to each other. Like this is, I mean, this traditionally, when we think of the most negative human experience, we put this on the list, right? And so with the backdrop of that, to be experiencing something so on the opposite scale of that, it just reminds you that it's not necessarily the experience itself. It's not the level of trauma, which arguably could not have been higher for those storytellers. And there's no way to ignore that when you're listening, right? To not say, I cannot, like, I'm empathizing with all of the horrible things that have happened. But still, that wasn't the part of the brain that activated. It could have, but it didn't. And I think that's a really important point when it comes to, like you said earlier, about that it's not necessarily about the things that you have, the things that you've accomplished, the things that are in front of you. It's not like that, because no matter what, there's always two choices. Even in the face of a genocide, you can choose, you know what I mean. You can activate, you're not actively making this choice, right? This is your brain and we can't tell it what to do. But you can activate pro-social neurons in the most horrible of circumstances. And so like, that is just proof right there. And I love that you said that this was a secondary thing, because again, I mean, the amount of times that I will just say, you are what you consume. You are the five people around you. Like these things, being surrounded by people who are actively lighting up these pathways in your brain by secondhand, right? Just by being around them, freaking osmosis, man. Just being around them is making you grateful and lighting up pro-social neurons in your brain. It's like, if that doesn't show you how important it is to surround yourself with content that reflects the kind of person you want to be, with people that reflect the kind of person you want to be, I mean, it's so important.
That was what drew me to kind of, I wanted to make up our own gratefulness formula out there with just like all of this information, all of this like psychological information, all of these, looking at neuroscience, looking at some of the guru's thoughts, like looking at all these things and come up with our own formula. And something that I genuinely could not ignore was exactly that. It was, we make choices on what we consume. We make choices around who we are around all the time, how we interact with those people. And noticing what those interactions look like and the type of people. Are you around people that are genuinely, you know, experiencing some level of gratefulness, that are feeding that for you, or that are constantly looking at some of the negative aspects of life or complaining, or, you know what I mean? Like it's just very important. And it comes to what you're consuming as well. Is your algorithm filled with these ideas that everything is so horrible, the world is so horrible, people are so horrible? And that, I think, is something that is particularly relevant within the time that we're in.
Oh, so hard. It's so hard to filter out messages of that people aren't so horrible. Like,
yes. And we're looking for proof of that, right? Like, ugh. We're looking for proof that people are horrible, and that will continue to, you know, build amongst itself. And we see it in the news, we see it in the content, because anything that is kind of shock and awe value.
Yeah, it's inflammatory, and that's clickbait.
And we're already geared towards that, right? So we're already those fearful sides, those defensive mechanisms, those circuits are already lighting up in our brain. Then we see something that confirms that, and we're like, oh, I'm going to go deep into that too. It's confirming all of that. But we're just snowballing the same thing that we're already geared towards. You already have your defensive mechanisms. You already have your levels of fear. What is it that you need to build to counteract that seesaw? Because we can't just be sitting here with so many defensive mechanisms, with so much fear that is just continuing to manifest itself within ourselves and within our interactions, because it's taken over.
Hang on. I have been told that, what's the numbers? 70%, 78, over 70% of you guys listening to this podcast have not subscribed. So please do me a favor right now. It really, really helps us. Do me a favor and hit the subscribe button. You're listening every week. We're besties in here together talking about everything fitness and life, and you haven't subscribed yet. So be sure to hit the subscribe button right now and subscribe to our podcast.
Well, we are sitting collectively. We are sitting on that immensely imbalanced seesaw, and that is, and we see the results in mental health studies and the everything surrounding the mental health of people in the world currently right now supports the fact that we have an extreme imbalance. And it's so hard because, like, it's just, there's so much information just constantly coming at you. And if you are wanting to confirm, and it's not your fault, right? But like, it's, I'm telling you, the biggest change that I've ever made to like curb some of my mental health issues has been the control of my algorithm. The actual, like, not passively doing anything. There is nothing on my phone that I'm doing that is passive, because when I go to passive mode, I go to like, I turn off my ability to like be thinking about what I want to be consuming. And I'm just like, well, just consume whatever is on here, whatever is interesting. I know where that's going. I know what my brain's trying to do. It has to be. And that's why I'm saying, like, you know, we all are using our phones in a way of winding down and decompressing. And it's such a weird thing because we want to decompress, and decompressing means sort of turning off the self-improvement to, you know, to a lot of people. It's like, you know, I don't want to self-improve right now. I just want to like lay here and I just want to consume, right? So when you're not actively controlling your algorithms, you're allowing your brain to want to go down those pathways, and all of that stuff is being reinforced. And I really, truly feel like that is why we have the imbalance that we have right now and today with mental health issues, is just simply because people are not actively controlling what they're seeing and the content that is they're intaking. And that goes the way that goes.
Well, I think that's a really important point when it comes to comfort too, because we are seeking comfort. And we've mentioned this in the past in another podcast, but, you know, destructive behaviors that are practiced frequently provide comfort because we know the outcome for them and they're constantly reinforced in our brain. And if we know what to expect, that is comforting. Even if it's not serving us, even if it's making us genuinely unhappy, even if it's causing a lot of anxiety, we know what anxiety feels like. So that's comforting. We don't know, some of us don't know what pure joy and pure experience without fear feels like, what coming closer with less fear feels like. And that is something that can cause a lot of, that can lead some of this, I don't want to say destructive behavior, but it can lead this behavior because it is comforting for us. And one of the things that I wanted to say about when it comes to leading those experiences and when it comes to, you know, the pro-social circuits and how we experience some of those things, the more we practice some of those pro-social circuits, the more they light up, the closer we get to things, but the more we experience things like joy and laughter, and we have some of those just like secondary experiences when we sensory experiences, they're heightened when we're practicing some of those pro-social circuits. So when you think about people who just have this like easy to laughter, right? Like you just think about who they are as a person. They're like quick to laughter and they're quick to experience like some type of joy that seems very genuine. That's because they are experiencing it at a heightened rate, basically. They are experiencing those sensory things at they're closer to that experience because that those circuits are lighting up easier. They're practiced. They're getting closer to themselves and to other people. Like that's not just a perception. That's genuine. That is actually happening. Like, why is this person so quick to happiness? Or why are they so quick to laugh? Or why are they so easily comforted by soft things or constantly looking for those? They are getting a heightened experience from those sensory things than those of us who are sitting on more of a defensive and fearful circuit.
And it's the same way the other way too. You're experiencing heightened levels of fear when you are constantly activating the defensive circuits. So like there's fear and then there's like fear on crack. And then that's, and that's what, there's joy. And then there's like joy on crack. Like it's like these things, the more practiced these things are, the easier they are for you and the more heightened the response is. So it's like, it goes the other way too. If you like know somebody like that's super quick to complain and like they're super easy to look on the negative side of things and like their experience is so real and it's so heightened. Whereas you're, sometimes I'm like with people that I consider like complainers, sometimes I'm like, geez, like this, to me, this doesn't seem worthy, right? I'm always like doing this with people, but like that's something I'm working on in 2024. This doesn't seem worthy of a complaint. Like it doesn't, but if you're experiencing that at a heightened level, think about like everything is just more. It's more, it's more. To you, it seems so big because it's like a practiced and learned behavior.
Well, that's where the resilience for the future comes in, right?
Yeah.
So if you have developed these pathways, your resilience for the future and for those negative experiences is very low. So any of these kind of like life experiences that come in and you can think about this in just an everyday sense. When it comes to traffic, someone walking too slow, some of these irritants that people experience on a daily basis that they would consider to be just kind of like constantly breaking down their level of resilience, right? Your resilience is already very low if you have not practiced some of these gratitude or pro-social circuits. If you haven't developed a gratitude practice that has been effective in providing resilience for the future, when you inevitably experience all of these human emotions that you are bound to experience when you're going to experience some type of heartbreak or loss or and like you are going to experience death in your life. You're going to experience loss of people. You're going to experience heartbreak. These are all part of the human experience. But when you get to those experiences that are absolutely inevitable, do you want to meet them with a level of resilience that allows you to continue on with your life? That's why we practice gratitude, because we want to be able to meet those experiences with a level of resilience that we can continue to live our lives and that they will not break us down to the point where we are just in this negative mindset where everything is bad.
Well, it's the big things, right? And it's the little things too. It's the people walking slow. It's the spilling your coffee and it completely ruining your day. It's the flat tire making you have a bad week. These are also you, how you meet those things is sort of equally important because those small experiences are making up. That's the meat of what's making up your life. And so those small experiences being constantly something that is breaking you down with that low level of resiliency is, yeah, it's the big things and the small things. It gives and gives and gives. I just wanted to go through quickly a few of the physical benefits that come with some of these practices and some, because like you said a little earlier, the connections between the brain and your physical health of your body are just, they will not be ignored anymore.
They won't be ignored. Like the biggest way that you can say this is if you have a thought that, or an experience or a thought that makes you nervous or fearful, what does your heart rate do? What does your breathing do? Those are physical responses to a psychological thought. Like it's not arguable.
Now put that on a scale of how many thoughts there are a day, how many thoughts there are a week, a year, throughout your lifetime.
Like 70,000 a day or something. It's crazy.
So put that on the scale of, can you make yourself physically ill with thoughts alone? Like, can you change the chemistry of your body? Can you change the composition of your body simply with your thoughts? Like the answer is yes. And that's why this work that we're doing is so important when it's the mind, body, spirit thing, because it's like a lot of people set their 2024 goals. I want to have a healthier body. And that means like losing weight. And I just want to reiterate constantly that the physical health of your body is so, so dependent on your brain chemistry and what is happening in your brain. And it's got to be in the conversation if we're talking about improving the health of your body in 2024. It's got to be in the conversation. It has to, because without it, it's just not a complete view of, and you know, we've seen so many people, like, I can't reach my fitness goals. And we look at their stress levels and we're like, this has to actually change. So I want to talk about some of the physical benefits. We know that immune health is so, so dependent on brain chemistry. It's like wild. It's wild.
When this is just a side story as working in therapy, when people have come in, when they are coming in as more of like an emergency sense where they're experiencing like, you know, bouts of MDD or depression or anxiety where it's, you know, become debilitating in their life. One of the most common things that they come in with is that they're sick. And we go over this over and over as you are like going through your clinical practice is that one of the main indicators that someone is in a major depressive episode is that they come into your office sick every time. Their immune system is just so prone to getting sick because it's like this, it's not an accident.
People that experience some level of chronic pain, this is the same kind of thing. Those aches and pains are, it's so weird. It just bugs me out when you think about like, because you think of physical pain as something that is so centralized to the area that's in pain, right? And that like addressing it means zeroing in and just looking at like the knee, the lower back, you know, studies have shown that with the kind of brain chemistry that is off kilter in the way of like those defensive mechanisms, the perception of aches and pains is like off the charts. It's not being perceived in the same way that someone with different brain chemistry, but a similar, like, let's say, like, diagnosis or whatever. It's not being perceived in the same way. You're actually feeling more pain simply because of your brain chemistry. It's freaking weird, man.
I did like a study in here too that looks at some of the gratitude health benefits for reducing inflammatory responses that I thought was really interesting because literally nothing else changed physically. There was no like pharmaceutical drugs that reduced inflammation. There was literally just practice of gratitude in a way of support giving. This was for women and it was giving support, you know, to each other as mothers. And those relationships literally reduced inflammation in their bodies. Like there was no other physical changes that happened that the group was exposed to other than giving support and gratitude.
That is so wild to me. And like the levels of inflammation and that the connections to chronic pain and chronic disease.
Well, people, inflammation is everything. Like inflammation throughout your body is everything. You get inflammation in your brain, in your joints. You know, everyone thinks about like, you know, when their stomach is bloated and inflammatory, all of these things. Like anti-inflammatories are the most used drug out there. And when we think about what are some of the things that we can do to reduce inflammation in our body, gratitude isn't number one on anyone's list. No. It's like ibuprofen. You know? It's like, well, I'll just take some ibuprofen. But the reality is overall reducing inflammation in your body can be done with practicing gratitude. Like this isn't my opinion.
A freaking great friendship like reduces inflammation in your body. And that's the giving and getting, right? Because I think that like a lot of people get stuck on the fact of like what a good friend can give to them and like what they need from a good friend and what, but like your body and your brain respond also to what you're giving. And like you get hits of dopamine from just simply like you supporting someone, even if they don't reciprocate. So it's like, I just want to point out that like, you know, cause some people are like, oh, this is just out of my control. Where are these good friends at? Like where, like you can do it and give your brain the same response.
People experienced pro-social circuits for gratitude when it came to writing and hearing a letter written to like a coworker. Was in one of the studies. They just heard someone read to the coworker what the gratitude that they had for them in their lives. And people listening to that, their circuits lit up. Like
it's like you're not even involved.
You're not even involved. It's amazing.
I just love it.
It's amazing like what you're exposed to and how that can really affect, you know, what your experience is, because we do think about like, well, you know, I wish someone, and it is stronger when someone expresses gratitude for us. That is 100% but it has to be genuine gratitude.
Right, right. And you can't control that.
Yes.
So that's why it's kind of like, well, do what you can then.
Well, that's one of the other ones that I read was, you know, gratitude in the workplace. And when a boss was like giving a raise, for example, but the person's perception was that my boss hates me, but they're still giving me a raise because I do a good job. They did not perceive the level of gratitude, like almost at all, because it's not monetary. Like it's not a monetary value. Like you can't fake any of these things by just sliding something that you think will show gratitude without genuinely experiencing and showing that gratitude. People who received a lower raise, but like, and everyone's like, no, I want this thing, but I'm telling you what your brain experiences, but they were, you know, given the type of gratitude that they were looking for from that person, genuine gratitude, their experience was just that, like, it was much better for them. Their pro-social circuits were lighting up. Their overall recognition of the entire interaction was grateful, happier, and they were just like more likely to like benefit from and invest in that experience than the latter.
Well, that's why it's not about the things.
It's not about the thing. Well, that's not what it means for me. I'm like, you think that you're going to get this thing or this promotion or this whatever, and you're going to experience gratitude when you get there, when that's just not the case. You cannot fool your brain with things. You can't fool your brain with affirmations. You can't lie to your brain to say you should be grateful because you have all of these things. And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, get caught up with when it comes to shame for not feeling grateful.
Yeah.
Because they say like, I should feel really grateful because I have all of these things. And, you know, I see someone who has none of these things and they're just experiencing this level of gratitude all the time. What's going on? Why can't I be? Because you can't fake it.
Okay, and it's not about the things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not about the things. So I wanted to give some steps if you're into that.
Let's do some steps. Let's do it.
Some steps that kind of like are not that, you know, I've been thinking about as you guys have heard how important a gratitude practice is and how it changes the neural pathways in your brain. But I really want you to understand that A, nothing that is worth it is ever going to happen overnight. And some of these things are just not in line with, you know, some of the gurus out there. And it's not that you can't take some of those with you. Take what works for you. Take what Absolutely. Works for you in the moment.
What feels thing. Like, because this is the thing, is it's all about the way you're perceiving it. So if something that the gurus are saying, it you try it and like it feels genuine to you, like we said, you're not going to lie to your brain. So if it feels good, take it, use it.
Yeah, use it, move forward with it. One of the things that I had heard from, I follow someone who had been a monk for many years, and he has a great podcast now, Jay Shetty. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of him. But something he said going into 2024 was that he, you know, got a jar and he's writing things that he's grateful for on some of the sticky notes and putting them in, and he's going to read them at the end of the year. And I thought that was like actually a really good thing. But I listened to another one who who talked about sleep and how important it is for your brain and what happens before you go to sleep to develop some of those neural pathways. And I felt like that was a low hanging fruit because it's subconscious and it's something that is within our control in a very segmented spot. It's hard to control things that happen throughout our day, but right before we go to sleep, we can make some changes that we are generally in a lot of control of. So one of the ones is every night before you go to bed, ask yourself, what went well today? And it's really important that this is a question because, again, we're not faking it. We're not going like, well, these are the things that you should say, or these are the things that you should think
or
about.
List three things that went well today.
Yes.
Sometimes it is hard to come up with the three things. And sometimes you have 10 things.
And that's really important to recognize too, because and I think a lot of people will have difficulty finding something that went well today at the beginning of this practice, because your mind is initially going to go, for a lot of us, into the things that maybe didn't go so well.
It's supposed to. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. It's important to note that, because you can say like, oh, I asked myself purposefully what went well today. And my brain said, this is what didn't go well today.
Wow, that's weird. Who invited you?
That was what happened to me as I started to practice this. I was like, who invited you?
Like, out of here. That's not even the question I asked. Why is it like opposite day?
It's an interesting practice though, because you say
it really
like,
is.
Oh, that's not the question I asked you. I guarantee you this, it becomes more natural. So when you say what went well today, you're asking a genuine question. And I want, if you're listening to this podcast, you have something that went well today, guys. You just have to find it. And it might be really hard to find on some days, and it might be really hard to find at the beginning of this practice, but as you do it more, it's easier to find.
You gotta trust that. You really do. You have to take that at face value and just blindly trust it, because at first it's going to be like feeling like this is a negative practice, because like, as Kelsey said, the first things that come flooding into your mind are like the party guest that wasn't invited and like all the things went wrong. And you're going to be like, why am I doing this? That my brain is just sucking at this so much. But I'm serious about the fact that like, you've got to blindly trust in this and just keep doing it every night. And I swear 2 weeks in, you're going to be like, holy shit. That girl, that annoying girl that kept showing up at the party, like finally got the hint. I'm telling you.
So true. And doing this right before you go to bed sets you up for, it's almost like putting something in the oven or like marinating. You know what I mean? When you think about something that went well today, just before you go to bed, you have a million thoughts. People think you don't dream. You definitely dream, but you have things that are happening in your brain as you're sleeping. And if you end, what a lot of people are doing is they're scrolling at the end, whatever's in your algorithm is fearful and damaging. And then you go to sleep and you let that marinate. And then you wake up the next day and wonder why you're not grateful.
It's so true.
Of course you're not. You just marinated fear for 8 hours.
I am so, so guilty of this. This is just like you said, rounding up the day and thinking of all the things that I did not accomplish. That's type A in a nutshell. All the things I didn't accomplish, all of the weird interactions that I had that I'm like regretful about. I shouldn't have said that. I should have said this. It's like, that's where we come to just like marinate in self-loathing right before bed. And it's like, why am I such a self-loather?
Why am I waking up at 3 a.m.? Like, everyone who has experienced this, like, no, understands it. Like, if you're the type of person who wakes up at 3 a.m., you're like, I don't know why I'm thinking about that right now. Like, no.
Are you sure you don't know why?
You don't know why? Like, what'd you think about before you went to bed?
Oh, man. I feel attacked. Number two is, as we mentioned earlier, you can never control the amount of gratitude that's being thrown your way, right? Like, you can lightly tell the people, hey, I really appreciate it if you tell me some things that I'm doing well.
It's gonna benefit my pro-social circuits, guys.
Sure. I mean, you can let them know, right? But like as we're talking about the genuineness, right? If something seems forced and your brain is thinking that you're forcing the person, then it may categorize that as a lie. But what you are in control of is showing gratitude for others. And we've said, although it's not as strong, it is a powerful practice in lighting up those circuits in your brain. So go ahead and pay it forward. And you know what? Here's the thing. Whatever you're doing, it just comes back, right? We know this. So if you're constantly expressing gratitude for others, all of a sudden, right, it's going to come back around and you're going to notice more people expressing gratitude for you. So take the wheel on that one and use that as your step number two.
100%. The other thing with that too is like, not only are you getting some benefits neurologically from that, but what you put out into your relationships is so important to what you get back. And a lot of times we pick apart what we're not getting out of a relationship and like what we're like focusing on some of the negatives with some
what's
of the
missing.
Around us, what's missing. Mm-hmm. But we're less likely to look at what are we putting in? What are we hoping to build in there? How are we practicing that within ourselves? And I think that's such an important part, because I know I've been guilty of this for sure. It's like, I'm not getting this out of this relationship. And I'm like, are you doing it? Like, are you putting that out there? Are you going out of your way to tell people in your life that you're grateful that they're there? You're grateful for these moments with them. You're grateful for some of these experiences with them. They might be super small, but like, I'm super grateful right now. I was going to do this at the end, but I'm really grateful that I can go for walks with my mom. Like, that seems like a small thing, but it's not a small thing. I'm very grateful that I am in a place where like I can just be like, hey, do you want to go for a walk together?
It's the meat.
It's the meat. These are just
the meat that makes up your life. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's so true. And last step is please, please be conscious of what you're surrounding yourself with. It's so, so important. Control your algorithms. Do not turn off your self-improvement when you turn on your scrolling. Like it's dangerous. It really, really is. Control what is coming in, because no matter what, your brain is responding to those, whether or not you think you're taking in them passively or not. And so, like, you know, you are what you consume.
You are what you consume. You are what you surround yourself with. The language that you use when it comes to telling your story is so important. And like, if you haven't picked up on the storytelling aspect of gratitude being a major part of this, I hope that you will by me just circling back to it, because when we're continuing to tell our story in a way that we are not focusing on what are some of the things that we can be grateful. This is why I'm fearful. This is why I act this way. This is why blah, 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 is something that is very natural for us. But looking, gearing towards the side of gratitude, gearing toward the side that we can start to look at some of the things that we've gained in some of our experiences and what we can be grateful for, is going to give you more resilience for the human experience for the future.
I am hoping that this deep dive has really given you some things to think about. It's just some food for thought, and what you can take and bring from this with you into the new year is just going to hugely benefit you in the way of awareness of what your brain is doing and how important it is to your overall health. So we hope this has been helpful.
Thank you so much for listening to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. If you'd like to join our movement, get in our free app, CVG Nation, available in your app store. We have an amazing community of women, coaches to help you with your movements, challenges, and we give away leggings daily in there. Rachel and I are in there every day, so it's a perfect place to get in touch with us. This podcast is made possible by Constantly Varied Gear, so be sure to check out constantlyvariedgear.com. Have an amazing week. Crush your goals.